He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. It is great to be here. It really is. Easter Sunday. What a privilege.
Yeah.
What a privilege. Privilege for me to actually preach on Easter Sunday, because I don't normally do it. But then again, I do look after the list of people who do preach on Easter Sunday. Funny that. I've got two readings this morning. Mike read from Matthew. I'm going to be reading from John's Gospel. But firstly, I'm going to be reading from the end of John 19. So, towards the end of John 19. And I'm going to be reading verses 28 to 30. Later, knowing that all was now completed and some of the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Our second reading is in the next chapter, and it's in John 20, and it's verses 14 to 16. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." So we've started the sermon with the last words that Jesus spoke before he died. If you like, it's like the end of the first half. There's no extra time, there's no added minutes. The first half of his ministry stopped there. But what a ministry it was. he came and he fulfilled biblical prophecy. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He gave hope to the people of Israel. But that was it. Finished. It all finished at the cross. Or did it? Or more truthfully, wasn't this just a prelude to the second act, the second half of his ministry, which is still going on today?
Yeah.
The title of this sermon is "The Second Half, It's Still Going On." We're not at full time yet. We're not even into added time. If you're following the analogy so far, I know there's at least one person in the congregation who is. So what is it that started the second half of Jesus' ministry? One word. So let's just go back into the Gospels, back into John, and let's read John's account of the first day of the week. I'm going to be reading John 20, verses 1 to 9, if you'd like to follow. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had risen from the dead. if you're following the analogy, the second half didn't seem to go very well, did it? Mary Magdalene was the first one to reach the tomb. And she had real fear in her mind because the tomb was empty. Her immediate thought was that the body had been stolen. And she didn't know what to do. She immediately ran to find Peter and John. And they, did they believe her? I'm not so sure. Because they ran to check. They ran to the tomb to look for themselves. So why didn't they believe her? You can speculate as much as you like. But sometimes we don't believe until we see. We only believe with our own eyes. And in this case, Peter and John didn't believe. They just had to go and check. You know, I mean, the tomb's not that big. He wasn't hiding in a corner or something. They had to check and look for themselves. So this account talks about how John saw and believed. You see, verse 9 is very interesting. Let me just read that to you again. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Now, in my Bible, that's in brackets. See, they believed, but they didn't understand from Scripture. That's belief without knowledge. That's a really interesting concept when you think about it. Belief without knowledge. See, do we really need to know all of the scriptures before we believe? No, I don't think we do. But then again, that's up to you to answer that for yourself. And when you read this account, you'll notice that with Peter and with John, their mood changed. Mary's hadn't. She's still upset. I would actually put it to you that she was bereft with grief. But what happens next is where the whole game changes. Verses 10 to 15. The disciples went back to their homes. They were happy. They believed. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked a woman, "Why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said. Listen to the emotion in that. "They have taken my Lord away," she said. "And I don't know where they have put him." You can almost hear that coming out through tears, can't you? At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realise that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." You see, it's clear from that description that Mary was still seeking answers. Where was Jesus? Where have they put his body? Anybody who was around, what have you done with him? The next heading in my sermon is called The Revelation and the Launch. Because remember what I said earlier? One word started the second part of Jesus' ministry, if you like. It was one word that gave Mary comfort and the revelation that she needed. One word. That one word was her name. It was personal. What is in a name? Well, to start with, it's your name. If I was to say to Edna, you would know that I was talking to Edna. You see, that's your name. It belongs to you. It's personal. Yeah. It's not somebody else's name. It's your name. It's what you were given. Mm. So it shows that when the message is given to you, it's via your name. I actually tried a social experiment on Friday when we were up in town for the Walk of Witness. I don't know if you remember, Esther, but I called you Beth. Guess what Esther did? Esther ignored me. Quite right too, but I tried it because I wanted to see what her reaction would be. And you see, when I did speak to Beth, or Esther as it really was, the message was lost to her. The fact that I was just messing about, but it's obvious the message was not for her because it's not personal. If I talk to you, it's personal. When I make eye contact with you, it's personal. When I mention your name, it becomes even more personal. When Jesus said the word Mary, what happened? Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me. Now stop that there, because you can imagine, be there with Mary at that point in time. And she's just been told, Mary. And she's gone, Rabboni, or teacher. What would your immediate reaction be? Yeah. Hug them? Launch yourself at them? That's what I would do. What does he say? Do not hold on to me, for I've not yet returned to the Father. It's almost like it's telling you that's exactly what she was trying to do. Gosh, if that would be me, that's exactly what I would have done. Let's just read on a minute. Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. I have seen the Lord. It was only a split second, remember? Maybe a minute or two, where she was weeping because she couldn't find him. Now she's seen him, bang, she's off. The ministry's launched. The revelation has been given. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I've seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. She ran. She didn't just walk away, didn't just saunter. She ran. There was energy. There was energy when she wanted to grab hold of Jesus, but didn't. Because he said, hold on a minute. But he didn't quite say, hold on a minute. He might have done, you don't know. He said, do not hold on to me. Now, if he said, hold on a minute. But it was personal. It's personal. That's because it's a relationship that you have with the Lord. That relationship had been broken for Mary, but it was restored for Mary. Mary left. She ran to her disciples, ran to the disciples. And of course, the rest of this story we know. If you don't know it, go and read the rest of John's Gospel. Don't worry, there's only one chapter left. So you can go home and you can actually read that chapter. But there's an important message here. here. Really important message. I've said it a few times now. Jesus called Mary by name. He had a relationship with her. He knew her, but she knew him. It was a two-way relationship. What does Jesus want from you and from me? What sort of a relationship does he want from you and from me? See, he wants to be your friend. He wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants you to reciprocate. He wants you to have a relationship with him. Yeah. It's no good me having a relationship with my wife if I don't get that reciprocated back. As an extension of that relationship with him, he wants you to reach out and make friends with others. On Friday when we were in town, it was wonderful to see, I don't know how many people were there, maybe 150 people, maybe more, Christians who all have that relationship with Jesus. Some of the prayers were very powerful. But they were talking to their Father in heaven. They were talking to the Jesus that they know and they love. Yeah. Why? Because Jesus came into the world for everybody. Yeah. That's why the second half hasn't finished yet. That's why we're not even into added time yet. It's an unbalanced, if you like. It's very unbalanced. The first half seemed to be only for 3 years. The second half has been going on for 2,000. You see, Jesus came into the world for everybody. In the first half, he came into the world for the Jews. But it wasn't just that. That's the way it seems. That's the way sometimes you read it. But actually, it wasn't that. Otherwise, why did he talk to the woman at the well? Because she wasn't a Jew. So he came in for everybody, the Gentiles, the Jews, everybody. Nobody is exempt. Which is great, because that means we're not. Yeah. We're part of everybody. Mm-hmm. We are part of everybody. I've got written down here, the second half is longer, because the second half is longer than the first, because it's still playing out. God hasn't wrapped this up yet. There's still things to do. There's still people to be won for Christ. Yeah. There's still people to lead to Jesus. How on earth are you going to do that? You start by becoming their friends.
Yeah.
You start by talking to them. Mm-hmm. You start by building brick upon brick upon brick the relationships that you actually need to have the confidence in yourself, but the confidence that God will give you, and the confidence that these people will give you, so that you can actually share the wonderful, wonderful love that Christ has for you, but also for them too. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? You may have to use words. I often say this about Sir Francis of Assisi, he didn't use words. Do you know what? The love of Christ ought to be oozing out of your pores. People should know that you are a Christian, that you are one of Jesus' disciples, followers, friends. Jesus' ministry continues through us today. We haven't seen him. I haven't seen him. Personally, I have not seen him. I don't know if anybody in this room has physically seen him, but I haven't. We haven't seen him Mary did, but we still believe. Let me read this to you. In John 20, verse 29, Jesus told them, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." Mm. Blessed are you who have not seen, but you still believe. You're blessed. You're blessed because the Bible tells you you are blessed. Yeah. You see, we have a responsibility to continue to carry forward the ministry of Jesus. And we can. It's not difficult. You're not being asked to push a boulder up a hill or anything. You're being asked to be friends with people. You're being asked to love people the same way that God loves them. And you're being asked to do it one day at a time. One person at a time. So happy Easter, folks. Happy Easter, Ron.
Easter on.
Thank you. What I want you to do is to actually pick up the gauntlet that's been laid down here and to run this race. And we need to rejoice. We need to go back and look at the story again. And we need to look at things that have pulled out of here. And we need to rejoice. Do you know what? We have a risen Saviour.
Amen.
We don't worship a dead prophet. We have a risen Saviour. And what do we call him? We call him Lord.
Yeah.
And we call him our King.
Yeah.
Because that's who he is to each and every one of us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.